From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings part three of a message entitled Measurable Progress Towards Certain Victory, as he continues this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctification begins in regeneration. The Spirit of God infuses into man that new living principle by which he becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. This work, which begins in the new birth, is carried on in two ways. Mortification, whereby the lusts of the flesh are subdued and kept under, and vivification, by which the life which God has put within us is made to be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. This is carried on every day in what is called perseverance, by which the Christian is preserved and continued in a gracious state, and is made to abound in good works unto the praise and glory of God. And it culminates, or comes to perfection, in glory, when the soul, being thoroughly purged, is caught up to dwell with holy beings at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But while the Spirit of God is thus the author of sanctification, yet there is a visible agency employed which must not be forgotten. Sanctify them, said Jesus, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The passages of Scripture which prove that the instrument of our sanctification is the Word of God are very many. The Spirit of God brings to our minds the precepts and doctrines of truth, and applies them with power. These are heard in the ear, and being received in the heart, they work in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure. The truth is the sanctifier, and if we do not hear or read the truth, we shall not grow in sanctification. We only progress in sound living as we progress in sound understanding. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Do not say of any error, it is a mere matter of opinion. No man indulges an error of judgment without sooner or later tolerating an error in practice. Hold fast the truth, for by so holding the truth shall you be sanctified by the Spirit of God.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As commander of the host of Israel, Joshua was responsible to ready his people for the fighting which lay ahead. God had promised the land to Abraham's descendants long ago, and now he confirmed that promise to Joshua. In verse 3 of chapter 1, God said to Joshua, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. As he began this message, Dr. Cairns emphasized that the conquest of the land, as well as victory in the Christian life, is accomplished one step at a time. Joshua had a great goal before him, and he was aware of the need of caring for every detail to assure victory. Having recognized the goal before him, Joshua took the steps necessary to achieve that goal. God had said that Joshua would conquer exactly as much land as he occupied. May we learn that our victory will be no better than our daily walk with God. Now to continue this message, Measurable Progress Toward Certain Victory, here is Dr. Cairns.
There are two things, therefore, we must consider. What are our main objectives? and what steps must we take to achieve them? The Apostle Paul said, "To me to live is Christ." It's very easy to say that. But Paul could make such a statement. That is one of the most amazing statements that any man has ever been able honestly to make. Paul could make such a statement because he was totally sold out to his God. There were no ifs, no buts. There were no caveats. There were no hiding places. Paul was sold out to Christ to live or to die. To me, to live is Christ. Before him ever, he had Christ. Paul's outlook in life was never, how much money will I make? How much popularity will I gain? How much success will I achieve? That was never Paul's outlook. Paul's outlook was Christ. How will this glorify Christ? How will this set forth Christ? He could boast, and I say boast because that's the word that he himself liked to use. He could boast to the churches of Galatia that he had evidently set forth Christ before them. To me, to live is Christ. What an objective. What an objective. That's putting it in very, very wide terms. But I think that it's a very attractive way of putting it for the child of God. But as you think of that, I want you to sit back before the Lord today and ask yourself the question, what is my life? What is my life? What is my life all about? Now let's not hide behind empty phrases. Let's not hide behind mere hypocritical assertions. Let us lay our hearts bare before our God today and simply face the question, for me to live today is what? What is it to live? What does life really mean to me? What is my great goal in life? What are all my energies channeled toward? Is there anything that I can say, that is life for me? That, my friend, is your objective. And I would say to you very clearly that no Christian ought to have any other great goal, main goal in life than that of the apostle. Christ must be the whole reason for our living. Now that will translate into the very aims that Joshua had, defeating the devil, defeating the enemy. We are told in God's word that we must resist the devil. We are told that the purpose of the coming of the Son of God was to destroy the works of the devil. There's no doubt about that. So our aim must be to defeat the devil. We are to wrestle against not mere flesh and blood. We are to wrestle against those principalities and powers, the spiritual wickedness in high places. We are to defeat the devil. Now look at your life today. In every area of your life, and in every area of my life, the aim must be the defeat of the devil. The expulsion of the devil from the ground that he has taken. The territory over which he has usurped authority. If you're in this meeting as a Christian today, and you find there are areas where sin and Satan are reigning and ruling, they are places from which you must expel the devil. There must be a commitment to such a goal. We could put it in another way. The goal of the Christian, as in Joshua's case, must be to follow the Lord fully. Joshua had to follow on. Along the path the Lord led, he had got there to this place at which the Lord said these things. By following the cloudy, fiery pillar, when it moved, where it moved, how fast it moved, how slowly it moved, he did exactly what the Lord led him to do. Fully follow the Lord. That was the Lord's own testimony also of Caleb. When the others turned back, God says, he has wholly followed me. Now that's to be our goal. And then surely that is going to mean, as in Joshua's case, that we will need to experience the power of the Spirit of God to do the otherwise impossible, especially in the experience of revival. Now this is the kind of aim that a Christian must have. And in saying that, I emphasize that we should never lose sight of the ultimate goal. Because soon all these struggles with Satan and sin and discipleship will all be over. Soon they'll all be gone. We're going to face the Lord. And our ultimate goal must be, as John put it in 1 John 2:28, to abide in him, in order that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And as we pursue that goal, I emphasize something I have preached for years in this church. We pursue it not in some legalistic spirit of bondage, but we pursue it by faith in Christ. We pursue it by looking unto Jesus. We must live our lives, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we must live our lives as a reaction to Calvary. That is what I mean by setting our objectives before us. But when we have done so, we must come to the second question. What are the steps to achieve those objectives? We must emulate Joshua's practical use of means. So here's the question we have to ask. What is my spiritual desire? How do I achieve it? Think of Paul again in Philippians chapter 3. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's his great desire? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the desire. But what are the steps toward that desire? Forgetting the things which are behind. A most difficult thing to do. We tend to live in the past. We tend to live in the afterglow of our successes or in the shadow of our defeats. Paul says, forgetting the things which are behind, then reaching forth. It's one thing I like about Paul. I would to God I could really emulate him. Reaching forth. Still in the stretch for God. Still living with expectancy. Still with a vibrancy about his life. Years have gone by. Years of hardship and travel. Years of disappointment and betrayal. As well as of great success and blessing. And here's the old battle-scarred warrior of the faith. You would think now that he could say, well, I've seen everything that is to be seen. I've done everything that is to be done. I'm getting sort of tired. But no, he says, I'm still reaching forth. I'm still not settling down. I'm looking forward. Let me stop there. How many of God's people are really on the stretch for God? How many of God's people are really looking forward to anything? How many are living with an expectancy, looking to God for great and glorious things, not living in the past, not giving up the future, but forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are before? And then he says, I press. The idea certainly there is one of difficulty. It's one of encountering opposition. It's one of having to endure hardship. I press toward the mark. It doesn't come easily. So what's my spiritual desire? What practical steps am I taking? Am I willing to take? What practical steps should I take to obtain that goal? You take some of the great areas of life and apply the question. Take your personal life. The goal in personal life is sanctification. The goal in personal life for a Christian is conformity to Christ. Now, how do you obtain that? Well, you obtain it by faith, not by the works of the flesh, not by mere adherence to lists of principles. So many people think that if they have this checklist of principles, they check them off, do this, 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 and this, that's sanctification. Don't you believe it? That's frustration, not sanctification. Sanctification is living with your eyes on Christ and getting such a sight and such a spiritual understanding of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 3 puts it, that you are transformed into His image from glory unto glory. You must be looking unto Jesus. But faith works. Looking unto Jesus leads to action. Now, it's one thing to say, in my personal life, I want to be sanctified, I want to be Christ-like. But what about the practicalities? Take the Savior's attitude to God. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. He says, I do always those things that please God. He said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. When you see the Savior before His Father, He recognizes the Holy Father, the righteous Father. And though He's in the most intimate fellowship with Him, yet He is in the most profound subjection to Him as the Son of Man. I tell you, you can have all the laudable and high-sounding aims for sanctification and godliness that you will, but until there is that attitude toward your God, you'll make no measurable progress.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org.
That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.